Wow.
What's up?
I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. On January 17th, Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+. And we can't wait for you guys to see it.
And before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recap podcasts.
Yep. Each weekday beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring exclusive behind-the-scenes tidbits and brilliant insights from our cast and crew and us.
Patricia Arquette, Britt Lauer, Zach Cherry, John Turturro, the list goes on.
All your favorite Lumen employees, their friends, families, enemies, in your feed every single weekday.
And here's the best part. After that, we're going to keep going. Tune in weekly as we recap every episode of season 2. The podcast drops on the same day the episode comes out.
It's the Severance Podcast with Ben and Adam.
On Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
All right, Boomer and Geo, coming to you live from the Build Ford Tough Studio on the Fan and CBS Sports Network on this Feel Good Football Friday ahead of divisional playoff weekend. We'll get started 4 o'clock tomorrow with the Texans and the Chiefs. You know, something's going to happen. Something crazy you would think is going to happen that we are not expecting. But this is where I get myself in trouble during these things where my team's out of it now. You know, I want the juice. I want the action. I don't have it anymore. I'm rooting for my team. So then I'm like, all right, let me find a team to root for and get into. And then I convince myself that like a Houston Texans can go in there and topple the Chiefs. I'll convince myself that the Commanders can go into Detroit and do it. And then I watch the team that I bet on FanDuel Sportsbook lose by 35 points.
Yeah.
So I just... And I'm not talking about something bad, like a guy going down due to injury.
Well, that's what would have to happen.
Well, see, I don't know, though.
As you just said, you just pointed out, all 8 quarterbacks are so vital to their team's success that, you know, if one of those guys goes down, you know, is the backup even close to being what they bring to the game? So if I asked you which quarterback out of the 8 that are playing
is the most prone to get hurt, I don't want to do that.
Not prone to get hurt, but is the one guy that could have a bad game and his team still win.
Well, Patrick Mahomes had a lot of bad games and then like overall bad games, and in the end made the plays necessary to win. So that's one right there. With the defense being so
all
good.
Right, so like the Commanders lose Jaden Daniels. Got a shot?
Well, of course not. No,
right.
I mean,
Lions lose Matthew Stafford. They got a shot?
Absolutely not.
Eagles lose. Mm-hmm. I think if the Eagles lose Jalen Hurts, they could still win.
Okay.
Now, can Jimmy Garoppolo go in and take the Rams over the Eagles if Matthew Stafford goes down?
Yeah, no. I mean, I don't want any of those guys to get hurt. I liked your first question of if one of those guys is starting.
How about C.J. Stroud? Can they win a game if he doesn't play?
Well, like, no, not like against the Chiefs.
No, but let's say he goes 18 for 36, 185 yards, 2 touchdowns, no interceptions, and no fumbles. That is a good game, not a great game by today's standards.
I'll give you the 2 teams. If the quarterback doesn't play well, they could still win and probably will still win. That would be the Kansas City Chiefs and the Philadelphia Eagles, because I've seen that this year. I've seen Jalen Hurts. I saw it last week. Jalen Hurts didn't play all that well, and there wasn't a lot of opportunity for him because they were running the ball very successfully. And I've seen Patrick Mahomes be below his standard for 3 quarters, many games.
Okay, and we are now in the point of the season where the running game takes center stage. I don't care what anybody says. Teams try to run the ball. They have to run the ball and in order to win these games. This is where the rubber meets the road. And the 2 teams that run the ball the best in the NFL right now are the Ravens and the Eagles. And they happen to be the 2 biggest teams left.
Yeah. You love that. That sounds like a Super Bowl matchup right there.
That's what sounds like what you're saying.
I do think if the Lions were totally healthy, their offensive line could go up against both the Ravens and the Eagles. I think the offensive line for the Lions is a top end offensive line, and they can run the ball too as well. And they're going to be indoors, so they'll have their entire offense is going to be open to them. They'll never have to deal with going outside and dealing with the elements.
Right. Yeah, I mean, it's hard for me to. I'm trying to paint a picture where the Lions don't play well, but they're going to play well. I mean, I think Jaden Daniels can't have a bad game and then win. He's not one of those guys at all. The Chiefs can do it. The Eagles can do it most likely. I can't see Lamar having a bad game and the Ravens still winning because Josh Allen, Josh Allen's going to put up some points in that game. There's no doubt about it. I just think that maybe the Ravens might be a little bit better.
Well, the Ravens' defense is pretty good, but remember,
gotten better throughout the year, that's for sure.
When they played in Week 4, man, Buffalo couldn't do anything. Now, that was down in Baltimore, and that was a huge game.
Long time ago.
And everybody was talking about that game being the game for the MVP early in the season.
Yeah, it was a long time ago. Lots transpired since then.
And I actually think the Ravens are a better team today than they were that day. Although, if they don't have Zay Flowers, it's a big loss for them.
Aren't the Bills better than they were that day, too?
I feel like they are, yeah. I definitely do.
Yeah, that is, I still, right now, 8:05, have not decided who I'm picking. And I'm feeling like I want to go again. You and Phil were gushing about the Ravens last night, man. You could not tongue-bay the Ravens enough last night.
Tongue-bay that?
You were tongue-baying the Ravens.
I wasn't tongue-baying.
Oh, yeah, you were.
Anyone.
Yes, you were.
I just told you, I just think that Philadelphia, the Ravens, and I guess I would throw the Lions in there, but the Lions have problems on defense just with all the injuries that they have, are three of the biggest offensive groups in the NFL.
All right, let's get some calls in, 888-808-1019, 888-808-1019. Let's go to Orlando in Queens. What's going on, Orlando?
Hey, Gio, Boomer.
What's up, man?
I love you guys. I was on a few years back on a Friday talking about Boomer's rags and how he continuously uses them.
I remember that, but, yes, that you were.
Yeah, we had a whole rag discussion.
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember that, yes.
Yeah, yeah. I wanted to get your guys' opinion about the Giants trading for Joe Milton from the Patriots.
Yeah.
And giving up that third pick.
It wouldn't take the third pick, but I don't think the Patriots are going to want to trade Joe Milton this year. They're not going to want to do that. We were talking about Joe Milton last night. Now, he had a good game. It was against a Buffalo team that didn't play a lot of their guys and probably played pretty pedestrian type of football almost. Thanks for the call, Orlando. I just don't. They're not going to trade him yet, and maybe when they get a look at him again on the practice field and if there's some sense that he looks like he's showing up Drake May or Drake May has some sort of issue or something, then maybe I could see them trading him to just get him out of the building. But I think that they are very happy with him at the backup quarterback spot going into next year.
So Phil loved Joe Milton prior to what he saw last week, and then what he saw last week put him over the top. You said it was borderline orgasmic for Phil while he was watching him, and you were talking about it.
Yeah, I think he was sitting in his underwear while he was watching.
which is a disturbing thought. But he loved him. Now, we talked about this, and Phil said this in front of a bunch of people yesterday, so I don't feel like I'm speaking out of turn. Phil said that he loves Joe Milton so much that he actually considered talking to somebody in the Giants organization to say, you got to take a look at this. He says he never does that. He said he never does that. He's actually thought about picking up on the phone and saying, are you guys on this guy? Because you really should be. And the other thing he said that you alluded to was that he's super confident and says it all the time. So there could be an issue there where he thinks or knows in his mind he's better than Drake May. It causes a little bit of a problem, and then Vrabes is going to be like, all right, listen, you either shut up or we ship you out of here because Drake May is our guy. So maybe then he could shake loose from that organization.
So everybody in the league knows everybody's roster. They know who's playing where. That's why, that's why when somebody gets hurt, they know who to pluck off of somebody's practice squad. Mm-hmm. So they, believe me, Joe, Joe Milton is extremely well thought of and is known about in the NFL. There's no question about that. But a first-round draft pick for him
no,
that's not happening.
I mean,
he was a sixth-round draft pick this year.
Yeah. I mean, I think like the highest you could possibly offer would be a fourth. The highest.
Yeah, I don't know, but it's not going to happen this offseason.
Let's go to Rick, who is in Queens. What's going on, Rick?
Boomer, Gio, thank you for taking my call.
Yeah, Rick, what's going on, brother?
Just a question on the Giants draft. Is it more of a detriment of Joe Shane not choosing properly or Dable not being able, him and his coaches, not being able to develop the choices that are made? Because I don't think Dable and his coaches get enough hit for being able to get the most out of these players.
Well, I think it's, first of all, it's a little bit of both when it comes to these things, but I think it depends on the player, too. Like, you could look at, so Brian Dable and Joe Shane had a shot at Malik Nabers. They got him. They brought him in, and he had an all-time record-breaking season as a rookie quarterback in an offense that absolutely sucked for a three-win team.
Right, rookie wide receiver.
Right.
I would just say, like, if the Giants had Jaden Daniels, they wouldn't have Malik Nabers, but they'd had Jaden Daniels. Would they be where the Commanders are right now with Jaden Daniels?
They would have 12 wins. I don't know if they would have been that good, but they would have had at least 8.
All right, so again, that goes back to the most important position that you alluded to earlier about these 8 teams, where these quarterbacks came from, and what Jaden Daniels has done for Washington. They're going to end up building a new stadium there. What Josh Allen did for Buffalo, they're in the midst of building a new stadium up there. You see what happens? You start winning. You get the political will behind you. Next thing you know, you got a stadium built.
Yeah.
And that's why it's so important to find that right guy. And the Giants just don't have that guy, and they haven't had that guy since Eli was in his prime. And they probably hung on to Eli a couple years too long. They tried to do it with Eli. They tried to bring in Saquon Barkley. They tried to say, let's go one more time. And it just wasn't good enough because the other teams around them were younger, faster, and they had better quarterback play at that point in time. And then they made the decision to draft Daniel Jones, and they gave him the contract extension. That's right where the money spot is in the NFL. So you can develop all these guys all you want, but if you don't have that guy back there that is the difference maker, as we've pointed out now with these 8 teams that are in these divisional round games, then it's not going to happen for you. And by the way, the Jets are the same thing. You know, they tried with Aaron and it didn't work. So now they're stuck too. Both teams are stuck. They need presence at quarterback moving forward, no matter who's coaching the Jets. You could bring in Vince Lombardi. You ain't winning with what's going on over there right now, especially if you're not bringing back Aaron Rodgers. You don't have a shot.
Yeah, and just to go back to the caller's question about the development part of it, I really do believe there are some guys that are going to be great no matter what the situation is that they show up in. And Jaden Daniels happened to be one of those guys. Now, Cliff Kingsbury did a nice job. Dan Quinn did a nice job. All those things. Jaden Daniels was going to be good or great wherever he went. And then you go like a guy like Evan Neal, where Brian Baldinger broke it down for you, said there was the worst offensive line play, right tackle plays ever seen in his life, never saw a guy on the ground as much as him. I think Evan Neal just happened to be a guy that was going to be terrible no matter where he went. And then you got most of the guys that are in between, you know, where really good coaching, like Bo Nix, as good as he's been, Bo Nix goes to the Giants this past year.
He's not going
to
be doing what he's doing.
Hell no.
Because he doesn't have Sean Payton.
Right.
And they have a pretty damn good defense, by the way.
Yeah, very good.
And I will say this about Evan Neal. If they don't keep him here and they don't move his position, he'll probably go by the way of Mekhi Becton somewhere.
Yeah, Mekhi Becton. So that is one of those examples of development with the Jets. So you get Mekhi Becton, who is just a total overweight, underachieving player.
Young, immature.
And just is miserable with the Jets. And then he goes to Philadelphia. They move him to guard. He's in a winning culture. He's around other great offensive linemen. And he is a big contributor. So, I mean, there's no doubt there's a development angle to it. I believe most guys need the right situation. But there's others on the extremes, on the fringes, that are going to be great no matter what. And there's fewer of them, And there's other guys that are just going to be horrendous no matter what.
You know, the interesting thing for the Eagles, they've gone through a lot of changes on that offensive line over the last 3 years, but they're still good.
Yeah, Jason Kelsey obviously being the biggest one, retiring.
I mean, yeah, and then Jordan Mailata goes to left tackle.
Yeah.
I mean, they've done an unbelievable job. Now, the Giants, to their credit, have tried over and over and over again to get it right. They've drafted guys high. They've brought in free agents. They have really tried. But again, if you don't have that playmaking quarterback, and I go back to what Brian Daboll said after they beat the Colts. Oh, this is what happens when you have good quarterback play.
Yeah.
You just got to get 17 weeks of it, which is a hard thing to do.
I mean, getting that offensive line, picking the right players, and getting those guys to stay healthy and stay together has got to be one of the hardest things to accomplish in the NFL these days. It really seems like it's just so difficult. And that's why, I don't know where Mike Munchak is these days, but he was always, I felt like everywhere that guy went, the offensive line was just amazing.
Yeah, the other thing, too, I would always caution against, and I said this when they did sign Tyron Smith for the Jets. I said, not going to be a great signing. He's not going to make it through the season. He's just not going to make it through the season. I guess you're
signing. He never did, you know?
I know that, but you're signing a guy that's coming off of injury that had a Hall of Fame career, and you're trying to get one more season at him, maybe two more seasons. And you get, I don't know how many, what did he play, 10 games this year? I'm not really sure.
Yeah, but, I'm not sure either.
But when you start investing in guys that are coming off of injuries and they're in their 30s, you know, that's like taking a shot in the dark.
Yeah.
And who's the guy they had the year before? The other guy that they had to tackle the year before, and that guy got hurt.
Oh, he come from Seattle.
Or Houston or something. He had that, blew out his shoulder, and then he tried to play with a shoulder injury.
Yeah. We know exactly what we're talking about. We're just not getting the name. But yes, so he was also 100 years old. But they were trying to
fill holes with veterans that they thought could actually get through all of it.
You know what they say? They're trying to put the finger in the dike. And it doesn't work. No matter how hard you try.
I mean, especially as the dike gets bigger and bigger and bigger.
That's right. And then the water starts flowing, and then your finger's in that dike doing nothing. And that's what they tried to do. And here we are, both teams drowning. Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network.
Stick your finger in the dike.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
All right, Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network.
You were just telling me something about the Miami Dolphins. What is
it? Oh, yeah, they are going to be the home team in Madrid for the Madrid game this year. I don't know who the other team is that they're playing, CeeLo. I don't know if you saw that yet.
I think they're just announcing home teams for the international games because the Colts have the Berlin game, I believe it is.
Okay.
You ready for a drop?
Ready for a drop?
Yeah.
Are you dropping some knowledge?
Yeah, I like to drop a little knowledge for you people around here. I'm going to tell you right now. I'm going to say by 2029, maybe 2028. 2028, 2029. There will be an NFL division in Europe.
A whole division?
Yes.
Jeez.
Yeah, just like, you know, we sent Patton over there with his division. They're going to be four divisions over there. I mean, four teams.
That sounds
good.
There's
going to be an NFL Europe division. You watch.
Expansion or some of the existing teams?
No, expansion.
We'll give up.
Totally expansion.
Expansion? We're going to 36 franchises?
There's so many billionaires out there right now that want a piece of this.
Why not just give them the Jags, the Browns?
Why don't you just shut up and just listen to what I'm saying, right?
Because it's been so easy finding good quarterback play with the 32 teams. I'm sure 36.
It's going to happen. It's going to happen. And they're going to go to, by the way, and they will go to an 18-game schedule.
I mean, this is just like, they're just pushing it too far, watering down the league. Like, at some point, it's like, greed has got to stop.
Why? I mean, how many
soccer? Because it's watering down the product. That's why.
Let me ask you a question.
The product.
How many worldwide soccer teams are there?
Okay, that's the total. I don't think that's apples to apples.
Yeah, it's a sport, and there's worldwide. It's got a worldwide presence. Why can't football have a worldwide presence?
I mean, it can, but I think that what it does is we're already seeing the level of play go down drastically. And a lot of it has to do with the fact that nobody's playing in the preseason anymore. There's more games. There's 17 games. You know, you have just the one bye in 17 games. Everybody's playing Thursday night.
Be interesting to see if they do two
teams.
They
got to go. Every team's got to go overseas.
It'll be interesting to see if they do two teams in London, or they only do one team in London, one team in, like, Frankfurt, one team in Madrid, you know. And I'm trying to think, maybe, I don't know.
Munich, Berlin, those are other places they've done games.
Exactly. There. So I'm just telling you, they are getting ready to expand. To
you like that?
You like that? You like that? It's not. It doesn't matter whether I like it or not. I'm just telling you, it's going to happen.
Okay, but now that you're okay, fine. So you're telling us it's going to happen. What's your opinion on it? My opinion is it sucks and I hate it. So what's your opinion on it?
My opinion: if I am the quarterback of the London Monarchs and they're paying me $70 million, I'm going.
As a fan of the NFL now, and not someone who is playing quarterback in the league, and this is happening, and the NFL's been the NFL, and it's all been North America, it's all been America. It's all been America.
Yeah.
Does it feel right to you?
I think with all these international games, how they're well attended, you know, how these cities are paying for these games. Yeah.
You hear what I'm hearing?
Yeah. See, I hear a
guy who's not answering a question for reasons unknown.
Switzerland.
Yeah. I mean, you're pulling a CeeLo here.
Doesn't want to criticize the NFL.
They're trying to grow the pie and.
Do you like it or not?
I would say this. It would also create another TV package. Okay. Do you understand that, right?
Yeah, sure. What I don't understand is how you can't answer a direct question.
You know what? Yeah, I like it.
Okay.
I do like it.
There we go. Oof.
All right?
Yeah, man.
But I'm telling you, this is what's happening, just right, so you know. Okay. It's happening before your eyes.
All right. I'm not disputing anything. You're looking at me like I'm disputing. I'm not disputing you or having an argument with you that it's going to happen. I just wanted to know what you thought of it.
Maybe one year we'll do Boomer and Geo in Europe.
Boomer and Geo live in Europe. Yeah, Boomer
discuss,
and Geo live.
Discussing American football.
Boomer and Geo live in Europe.
On Netflix.
Yeah. You guys are big in Frankfurt.
Yeah, I don't think so. I think that'll finally have Al retire early. If a Boomer and Geo live is in Europe, I think that's finally when he pulls the plug on his career.
I think the plans have already been laid, actually. But
for Boomer and Geo live in Europe?
No.
Oh.
For the new division of football in Europe.
Oh, I'm sure they have, or else you probably wouldn't be talking about it right now.
Right.
Yeah. It took you almost as long to kind of answer that question as I'm told it took BT to answer Sal's 3RQ question from the other day.
Oh.
His favorite streaming service.
Oh, my God.
Because his first natural reaction instinct was a little questionable.
If you could only have one streaming service to watch the rest of your life, be
Pornhub. I'm just kidding.
Without hesitation.
Totally messing with you.
Totally messing with you. But then I didn't hear it, but then it took them like 6 minutes. I guess they delved into which one it would be. So it took a while to
BT, when he answers these questions, and Pornhub's not really a streaming service to be technical about. It's a website. But BT always, when he answers those questions, he can't do it directly. Like he'll be like, man, you know, it's Netflix if we're talking during the week. But are we talking during the week? Or are we talking about maybe a weekend? Maybe I'm by myself. Are my kids home? My kids not home? Am I living by myself or not? Because that's a big part of it. Because if that's a big part of it, then, you know, Peacock's got to be in the conversation. It's like, Jesus.
A lot of minutia.
Just answer the question.
All right. So what's your favorite streaming service?
I would say Netflix.
Okay.
Netflix would be my favorite streaming service.
I'd be lost without Fubo.
Fubo. Wow. Okay.
Yeah. That's what I rely on for my live sports.
You know what?
Fubo.
YouTube. You would say YouTube's stream.
TV.
No, but YouTube itself. I'm talking YouTube.
YouTube Premium.
Yeah, YouTube Premium.
Oh, okay.
Now that I'm thinking about it, if I had to have only one, it would be that.
What is YouTube Premium compared to YouTube TV?
Well, YouTube Premium is regular YouTube, but no commercials.
Okay.
YouTube TV is just like Fubo and all the rest.
Yes, okay.
Just like a service in which you can get channels. But when you have access to all those videos on YouTube with no commercials, it's freeing.
What about Apple TV Plus?
I mean, not even in the conversation.
Okay.
What about
Prime?
There's some good shows.
Yeah.
What about Prime?
He gave you.
Yeah. I mean, really.
What about Paramount Plus? They got a lot of great shows.
These services have great shows. If you're talking about the king of the castle.
Okay.
Well, I'm afraid to even ask you what yours is.
I'm just telling you.
that there are streaming services that are better than the others. Which one's your favorite? Oh, what I'm telling you is,
he's trying to grow the pie.
What's your favorite?
Well, right now it's Fubo because I can get the Rangers and Knicks.
Yeah. Okay. Same. All right. Mm-hmm. Very good. Mm-hmm. Got an answer there.
Yeah.
All right, CeeLo, what's happening with you?
Brought to you by Hard Rock Bet. Download the Hard Rock Bet app and roll with us. Also brought to you by Town Fair Tire. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. Did you follow the Bill Belichick stuff yesterday?
With Jordan Hudson?
Jordan Hudson, Jonathan Jones putting out there that he doesn't have a signed contract. And then Michael Lombardi quick to jump in on Twitter because he's the GM down there for the Tar Heels. And he's, you know, out there. Hey, Bill's on a recruiting trip and he's focused on UNC. The girlfriend's posting pictures. Apparently, though, there's a binding agreement, but the contract's not signed. All kinds of weird stuff with him and UNC there.
Every time you bring up Michael Lombardi, I go back to Al's take about the press conference where Michael Lombardi was there with his wife, and then Bill Belichick was there with the 24-year-old girlfriend, and they're all standing there. Michael Lombardi's got a wife that looks like Barbara Bush. And then he's got the 24-year-old girlfriend thinking how awkward that had to be for everyone.
Is that what you said, Al?
Well, because in the photos that I saw from the event, I didn't realize, and I swear, I'm not kidding, I thought that Jordan, the girlfriend, had brought her grandmother to the, because it was an event. Because it was like a big event.
Okay.
And I didn't realize.
Oh, God.
Yeah. That was so funny.
Optics.
Yeah, so we were, I was kind of in on that whole thing yesterday.
So, I mean, I don't know where it stands other than...
He's going to be there.
He's out there recruiting, yeah.
He's going to be there.
It is odd, though, that he's how many weeks now, and for whatever reason, this contract is unsigned. No?
It is strange.
Yeah.
I would say that
seems
is...
Seems like it leaves a back door, but as I said to Al this morning, who's the NFL team that's pursuing him?
That would be the ultimate screw job, but we've also seen this man... resign on a napkin. So
there is history there, but I gotta feel like going through the press conference and going through everything he went through and tried to figure out whether or not there would be an NFL team interested in him.
Yeah.
You know, would make me, this would be the worst thing that he could do.
And building the staff, I mean, bringing guys from NFL, his son from Washington, unless he ends up the head coach, I guess.
That would not go over.
No,
well.
No, it certainly would not.
He's going to be there for at least a year.
He's got to be there.
I would agree. Another thing we discussed on the warm-up show this morning, the Deion Sanders Cowboys situation, and Al made me choose, and I did. Am I on Team Ed Werder, Cowboys Deion report, or Team Diana Russini? Cowboys.
Well, we're.
All right, so Werder said Jerry Jones is enamored by Deion and that if offered, Deion would accept the head coaching job. Diana Russini disagrees, saying Deion is not going to be at the top of their list at the end of the day when the Cowboys start their interviews.
Well, Werder's been down in Dallas forever.
That's why I gave him
the
edge.
You have to go with him.
Yeah, no disrespect to Diana.
No, we like Diana. But
yeah, we like Diana.
Well, listen, we love her, but geez. no, I would definitely say Werder. He's got to be connected down there.
I would agree. That was my take as well. Now, our guy Adam Schein, far from convinced that Deion to the Cowboys is happening.
And I want to brace Cowboys fans for this. Ladies and gentlemen, introducing the next head coach of the Dallas Cowboys. Here's Kellen Moore, Jones family favorite.
Now, that said, in his personal opinion, Schein himself all in on Coach Prime.
Deion, to me, is the guy. On every single level. Can these alpha dogs exist? My goodness. We'll find out.
He is a believer, though.
I actually think it could, because I think Jerry has so much respect for Deion Sanders. I genuinely think there's a shot that it could work. Because on the flip side, ladies and gentlemen, here's Kellen Moore.
The difference between those two candidates.
You want to tell people what Phil was saying about good old Jer last night?
Well, that he needs to be the spokesman for the organization. He's only going to hire guys that he is going to be bigger than. He doesn't want the mouthpiece to be someone other than him.
Well, then Phil's on Team Diana Russini.
Yes.
Yeah, right.
Yes.
Yeah. Did we get Adam Schein's take on dog meeting Timothy Chalamet?
If we did, that slipped through the cracks for me.
I just loved watching Christopher Mad Dog Russo rub all on Timothy Chalamet. Grabbing him and massaging him and touching his boy's body up and down and over again, awkwardly in London. It made me so happy for the guy.
Jesus. God. Oh, man.
Was it not CeeLo? Come on. Was that not a little strange how much touching was going on?
A lot of touching.
Recapping that, I was thinking back to watching the video. I'm like, you know what? I subconsciously was thinking the same thing.
Dude, it was a touch fest.
Yeah, but that is dog, you know.
His chest was made of metal and dog's hands were magnets.
So true.
It reminds me of the Alec Baldwin character in A Long Hair and Polly in the bathroom with Ben Stiller, like rubbing his ear and smacking him in the ass.
I mean, dog gave Gio a reach around.
No. Where's Cox?
No.
He did not hit me. No. He did not. In the sense of the word, I suppose that he would stick his arm underneath my armpit.
And he was grabbing your boobies.
Yeah, he would rub my chest. But like I think most people think reach around involving the penis. That did not happen. He would just reach around underneath the. And he did this to a lot of people. Moose got it a lot. Yeah. It was just one of those things.
What is that all about?
He's a touchy-feely guy.
Yeah, he's just, there is no personal space that he's not willing to invade. Even when you are the top movie star in the world, he's going to get your hands. Hands right on you.
Yeah.
There was like a caress of the neck at one point in the bat. A little back rub seemed like.
Surprised Deshaun Watson didn't find dog during that stretch that he had. I hear you're great.
Oh, boy.
Reach around.
Thank you for clarifying that. Did not give you a standard reach around.
He might have done that with others, but not me.
Never know.
I mean, a reach around's a reach around.
No, it's not.
Well, if he's behind you.
No.
Whether it be above the waist or below the waist. He's still reaching around you.
Yeah, but
you need Gio had to provide the context.
You know what? And you liked it.
actually, at first, because I was like, man, dog must really like me because he's very handsy with me. And then when I saw that he was groping everybody, then I was like, well,
I didn't feel special anymore. Yeah, yeah.
And I was like, now I feel like it's weird.
We've been working for 8 years together. Have I ever grabbed you?
No. Not in a way like that.
Not in a loving way.
Not in a loving way. Like in a get out of here, you pig way.
Or I'm going to break you in half. Yeah. Right.
Stephen Waldron searching for a razor blade right now.
All right. Each hour, I've wanted to get to the hockey and Rutgers, but we keep running out of time. So do you want to hear quickly Rangers? Or do you want to hear Jerry Recco late tight game Rutgers-Nebraska last night in Lincoln?
All right, give us a little Jerry Recco.
All right, two-parter here.
Free throw up and good.
Oh.
24 for Bailey, 10.3 to go in the second. Bryce Williams up the floor with 8 seconds, with 7 seconds. Forces up a three. Got it with 4.6. You got to be kidding. 83-82. Rutgers is up by one. You can't make it up.
I mean, this stuff happens to us, to Rutgers.
All right, so that's Jerry there, and Chris Corso is partner. So
Chris Corso?
Yeah, that's at least what they said at the end of the broadcast, which wrapped up at about 11:50 last night on The Fan. So Rutgers hanging on tight, late game. Nebraska doing everything they can to come back, and here was the final call.
Running the baseline, got to get it in. Gets it into Harper, to Bailey. Ahead to Grant with 2 seconds, one dribble to dunk with 0.2 to go. Inbound, Bryce Williams, the heave, no good. And the 20-game home winning streak for the Cornhuskers comes to an end as Rutgers beats Nebraska 85-82.
F off, everybody.
Good late game action for Jerry.
Yeah, that was great. It was good descriptions, good everything. Stuff. Yeah,
on top of it.
Quickly, I want to go to Sal's in the city. What's going on, Sal?
Hey, guys. Hey, Gio. Thanks. I have a bone to pick with Boomer. Not to you, Gio. You're constant professionals always.
Thank you.
You know, I'm through my kids. His kids listen to his show. And my kid says, Daddy, you know, what's wrong with Boomer? And I said, you know, there's no easy way to put this, but he's drunk. You know, he goes out the night before and it's really responsible. And I had to have a conversation with him to explain how, you go out at night, you got to show up to work the next day. And, it's a shame.
Yeah, I know. It's a shame. I think sort of like the subway riding, I think, is where he's going.
I see.
With this, you know.
Right.
Where they call subway surfing. And then we had to, a lot of kids were influencing kids. So now I think Sal was piggybacking off of that, saying that.
That whole discussion we had yesterday.
No, I got that about the Opal. Why does he think you're drunk this morning?
He knew that we had an event last night, but I didn't really partake that much.
No, you did not.
No.
No, I partook very little myself.
I mean, you watched the entire Rangers Utah game. I think you're just
fine.
I did.
Yeah. 100%.
Yeah. You're good to go, which they did win 5-3, by the way.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
All right, Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. I said, Boomer, we're coming back right now. And he said, okay, and then opened the door and left. So he'll be back in just a second. I saw this quote, and I was pretty surprised to see someone go in as much as they went in on this. So I'm going to ask Boomer. I'm going to read the quote, and I'm going to give you a multiple choice on who said this, okay? So the quote is this: I hate Eagles fans. They're so annoying. I hate Eagles fans. When I see that green and white, I hate it. I actually get upset. I actually genuinely get hot. End quote. All right. So is this Los Angeles Mayor Karen Bass? Is this current Rams player Jared Verse, the edge rusher? Or is this former Ram Eric Dickerson? I hate Eagles fans. I hate them.
Well, it's not Karen Bass, so forget that.
I put that in there to make you laugh.
I think she's in Ghana somewhere. let me see. Would Jared Verse say that?
The week of playing him.
Yeah, I can't. I'm going to say it. I'm going to say it's Jared Verse.
It is. I mean, that was shocking to me that he would say that going into Philadelphia as much as he did. Now,
he's a presumptive defensive rookie of the year, by the way.
And he made that huge play against the Vikings on Monday night.
Yes.
For a touchdown. But, I mean, that is just, that's poking the bear, is it not?
That's 100% it is. But maybe, I wonder if Sean McVay says something to him like, hey, man, just calm it down a little bit.
I mean, I love the fact that he's coming out and saying it, and I think that's great. And if I were a Rams fan, I'd actually appreciate it. But yeah, from a head coach perspective, you're like, dude, you're a rookie. Like, shut up. Don't make it any harder for us than it has to be. But maybe he fuels. Maybe that'll fuel him, all that hate and how much he hates them.
Yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, I don't know why he feels. Maybe he's an East Coast guy, but maybe he was a Giant fan or something growing up. I'm not really sure.
Yeah, of course the Defensive Rookie of the Year would be a Giants fan and not play for the Giants.
Yeah.
Right?
I'm just trying to think why he would hate the Eagles fans so much.
Well, I mean, he's played. I mean, did they? He's from. He went to Bloomsburg, or Central Columbia in Bloomsburg, Pennsylvania. It was his high school. So
maybe he's a Steeler fan.
Yeah, Pittsburgh hates Philadelphia, but the Steelers fans and the Eagles fans, they kind of don't mix. It's the Penguins fans and the Flyers fans.
Yeah, because they see each other a lot more. It's the Pirates and the Phillies.
Yeah, well, not as much but these days, but yes, back in the day for sure. So maybe that's what it is. And maybe just, I don't know, did they play them in the regular season? Each other yet?
He said they're very annoying when they come to SoFi Stadium because they yell at him there, and that's his home stadium, and they're even annoying there, so he can't imagine how annoying they're going to be here.
But like,
all right, so
they must have gone out there and played this year because he's a rookie, right?
Yeah, that was the day when Saquon went off.
Saquon 255 yards, whatever it was. Yeah, that's right. Okay, so there you go. So it's that one time. That was it.
Right, those teams that play out there in L.A., more so the Chargers than it is the Rams, but they do get a lot of influx of the team's fan bases that they're playing against at those games.
True. But, I mean, for him to come out just straight up, I hate them. I hate when I see those green and white. I hate them.
Well, I mean, he's pretty much in lockstep with 99% of the other fan bases.
Yeah, it's true. I mean, there's no doubt. I know, but it's funny because the Eagles fans and the Philadelphia fans are trying to get away from that stereotype of them. They don't like it anymore. It's very odd. It's like they're trying to do work to be different.
They're trying to do work.
That's what it sounds like.
The whole fan base is in therapy?
I mean, I saw so much of people reacting to that guy, you know, yelling at the Packers woman before we knew the whole story. Like, man, like, you know, the last number of years, you tried so hard to change the narrative about Philadelphia sports fans and we're not animals, and this guy just set us back 10 years. I was like, why? Like, I thought you wore that as a badge of honor.
Yeah, I think there are a lot of people that do wear it as a badge of honor, and I think there are some other people that have tried to change it, but it's never going to change. You know that.
No.
Especially if it's fueled by alcohol. And just living there has got to make you pissed off. And plus, this is the intensity of these games now because, you know, they're one step away from the Super Bowl.
Yeah, I mean,
or two steps away, I should say. But, so the intensity is ratcheted up, and, you know, it's not going to be a kind place to play a football game if you're a visiting team.
No, not at all. And especially now with Jared Verse saying, I hate them. It's going to be even more so. But if they can go in there and win, and he could celebrate on that field, that would be the ultimate.